KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. The University of California beat the odds and stiff competition from the University of Texas Wednesday, winning the contract to manage Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. UC and its corporate partner Bechtel overcame the university's recent management lapses to keep the contract, but as SciMusica reports, change is on the way.
In making the announcement, officials with the Department of Energy made clear they expect a new era for management at the New Mexico lab, free of the spy scandals, lost radioactive material, and misused credit cards that have marred UC's oversight during the past decade. Secretary of Energy Samuel Bodman.
There has been quite a bit of turmoil and uncertainty over the past couple of years. Today's announcement is designed to relegate that tumult to the past.
At UC headquarters, President Bob Dines acknowledged those problems, but noted that's why the UC teamed up with defense contractor Bechtel to create Los Alamos National Security, a new management corporation. Dines says he's also confident the alliance won't hurt the integrity of academic research at the lab. And Dines says he's discussed that very issue with CEO Riley Bechtel.
And I think we've put a structure in place that will protect us from being forced into any compromise.
And if you feel there is such a compromise, you'll end the contract?
There is a compromise. I'll take Bart over to Bechtel, walk up to Riley's office, and we'll confront it.
At Los Alamos, some were happy with the decision. Others appalled that UC had retained the contract. John Horn designs conventional and nuclear explosives.
There's going to be a mass exodus of the more quality people. Everybody I've talked to today is basically irate about this, and I know many senior scientists who are planning to leave based on the contract decision.
Still, the decision positions the University of California and Bechtel as the favorites in the next lab competition. The Department of Energy is expected to request contract offers this spring for new management at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
Flu season is hitting early and hard in Southern California, with patients flooding hospital emergency rooms in Los Angeles. Overwhelmed health officials are urging flu sufferers to contact their doctors rather than heading to the ER. A constitutional ban on gay marriage will not be on the California ballot next June. Backers of the initiative say they failed to collect enough signatures in time for Tuesday's deadline. And waves reaching up to 20 feet high are delighting surfers from San Diego to Santa Barbara. In San Diego alone yesterday, lifeguards rescued about 130 thrill seekers from the rough surf. No reports of any drownings, but there were some injuries, including one surfer in Seal Beach who managed to break a leg. 1 year ago today, Arnold Schwarzenegger became the first California governor to release his daily schedule. The documents provide a window into how Schwarzenegger conducts business, but as Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers reports, the calendar still obscures many details of how the governor spends his time and who he meets with.
On Monday, August 22nd, Governor Schwarzenegger returned to California after a weekend out of state. His press office, as has become custom, sent an email to reporters that simply said Schwarzenegger would, quote, hold private meetings in Los Angeles. But that may be all the public ever knows about how the governor spent that day. Schwarzenegger's official daily calendar for August 22nd, released weeks later, has only three entries. Two entries are marked as a, quote, private event. The third is only referred to as a, quote, private call. The lack of details about that day and other days in the past 2 years seems somewhat at odds with the candor endorsed by then-candidate Schwarzenegger in September 2003.
I think also it's very important to open up the windows and doors of government. Let the people see inside what's going on. That is the most important thing. This is the politicians are representing the people.
For the past year, Schwarzenegger's daily schedule has been made available for inspection a few weeks after the fact in an office across the street from the state capitol. The governor's action is based in part on Proposition 59, the November 2004 ballot initiative that placed the right of public access to government records in the state constitution. As his spokesperson, Julie Soderlund, points out, the calendar releases have put Schwarzenegger in a category by himself.
He's the first governor in the history of California to make public both his private meeting schedule and also his public schedule.
But the standard of what is and isn't released is hard to decipher. The California Report conducted a day-by-day analysis of the governor's calendar from January 1st until the end of October, the last full month of records that have been released. Our analysis found most of the entries to be related to the media and public relations events. But the second and third largest number of entries are categorized as private, either private meetings or private events.
Those two categories, which were originally meant to be the exception, have become instead the rule.
Peter Scheer is executive director of the California First Amendment Coalition. It was his organization, along with several newspapers, that pressured Schwarzenegger's administration to release the governor's calendar. Scheer believes the designation private in the governor's calendar should be reserved for activities that are either purely political or purely personal.
We now have, as you were pointing out, so many of these private sessions that one would infer that either the governor is doing no work at all, or all the work he's doing is purely political. And in fairness to him, I'd like to think that neither is the truth.
In fact, Scheer says the 2004 calendar appears far more candid than the 2005 calendar. He worries that might be because once it was known the documents would be released, fewer details were written down. The governor's spokesperson, Julie Soderlund, could not provide details on exactly what triggers an event to be marked in the calendar as private. But she did confirm some of those private events are related to government issues.
Well, of course, the press would like more information always. It's important for the governor to be able to conduct business and have a free flow of information and ideas for some of those details of those meetings not to be included in that.
That sounds similar to the standard the state Supreme Court created in a 1991 ruling on access to previous governor's calendars. The court ruled such documents go to the heart of what it called the governor's deliberative process, and releasing them could impair his decision-making ability. But open government advocates are now searching for even more access to how those decisions are made. The California First Amendment Coalition now has its sights set on the daily calendars of the governor's top aides in an effort to reveal which interest groups have the ear of the governor's most trusted advisors during the time he decides to either sign or veto pieces of legislation. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Thursday, December 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. The Stewart Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education. And the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family. Online at farmwater.org.